Blog Talk Radio.
Peace, y'all. This is Nas, Jimmy Black.
Yo, you rocking with your man, TJ.
Yeah, this is your boy, Black Ice.
Your boy, Too Short.
Yeah. It's your man, Boss Hog.
And it's your boy, Ace Em Up.
Yo, this is John Legend.
What's up, man? It's your boy, Renesee.
It's your main man, Tripp, representing the No Coast, Indiana. TrippaPlatinumUnderground.com. Chilling with Three Queens, the movement. You know how they do it. Holla. One.
She never slows down. She doesn't know why, but she knows that when she's all alone, feels like it's all coming down. She won't turn around.
Everyone, Street Queens, the movement is now in session. 8 o'clock, on the spot, all the time. It's a panel of women doing positive things, talking about real issues, real people. If you're not mature enough to handle what we're talking about, then please, please, please don't call in. But please, you know what I'm saying, this is all about, you know, education, you know, to basically expose the miseducation, you know, that has been given to people. Don't, please, people, we are all adults here. Don't take anything too hard. Don't take anything lightly as if it's an offense towards you or anything. But today we're talking about stereotypes. We're exposing the stereotypes that everybody has had when they've grown up, from blacks to white, Hispanics. Everyone's had a stereotype. So basically we're exposing it today. We want to hear your voice, your views on it. You want people to call in from that are, you know, from Caucasian background, from Black, African, Caribbean, Asian, to call into the show today to give us their stereotype and their point of view and to expose it and correct it today. Call in at 347-826-7722. Call in at 347-826-7722. Call into our show at log on to the show to listen at www.blogtalkradio.com/Rush Radio Online and check out our site at www.streetqueensmovement.ning.com. We're going to go to the phone lines right now and bring in our queens. Peace, queen. Peace, queen. How you doing today, CG?
Hey, Les. How are you?
Hey, you on the early check-in. Woo!
I know I'm on the early check-in because I got off a little early today, so I said, let me call in on time. Sharp.
That's what's up. That's what's up, man. I'm definitely glad to have you on the show, man. And I got to thank God, you know what I'm saying, you know, for me able to do this show today because, you know, yesterday a chick almost died yesterday, but we here, and God is good.
What happened?
Girl, check your email. I sent you the pictures, man.
Pictures of what? What? I haven't checked my email.
Girl, the whole apartment blew up, girl. The whole apartment blew up yesterday. But, you know, I'm here, you know. Show must go on, and we got to keep it pimping, you know. And I'm live with our other beautiful queen right here, Felicia Sabree. What's up, boo-boo?
What's going on, everybody? I'm in the building.
Felicia.
On the check-in. What's up, CG?
Hi.
That's what's up. That's what's cracking, man. We definitely getting it in, man. And, you know, we talking about, you know, this stereotype, you know. It's a serious situation, you know what I'm saying? I'm glad and I'm feeling extra happy because I got my queens on the line. They on the early check-in. You know, they making my day today. I feel so bubbly inside right now.
Well, I'm glad you're okay because that's some serious stuff you're talking about.
Y'all got me nervous. Y'all got me scared. Okay.
we're talking about a little bit later on the show. But right now, you know, we want to talk about this stereotypes, and I want CG to go ahead and take the lead on this one. You know.
You want me to take the lead? Where are we gonna start? Stereotypes on what?
Just basically explain to them what a stereotype is. Then you know, let them know, you know what I'm saying, from when they were coming, you know, coming up, everyone had their certain kind of stereotype, and give them examples and stuff, and we want to expose it today. Go ahead, CG. It's all on you.
Yeah, well, this is not the Webster definition, but a stereotype is basically like a prejudgment that you give to someone or something due to something that you've heard or due to an impression that you've got from previous situations or previous experiences, without actually giving that person or thing a fair chance to express themselves for who they are. One common stereotype that I can speak of that I've experienced being a black woman is that all black women have attitudes.
Wow.
Yeah. All black women have horrible, bad attitudes.
Not true.
That's definitely not true. we have our moments, just like everyone, you know, male and female, white, black, orange, green, you know, but for black women to be labeled as the only people in the world who have attitudes, hold grudges, you know, like that we all roll our neck when we talk, we all snap and roll our eyes and suck our teeth, that's not true. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I've always felt like I've always had to prove was not true. Yes, when I get mad, I get mad, just like any walking human on this earth, you know? But I don't just wake up with a bad attitude because I'm black and I'm a woman. It don't go like that. But I guess I need to talk to a man and get why they think so many of us, or all of us, you know, act like this.
That's definitely true. You know what I'm saying? You know, a lot of people got a whole bunch of stereotypes about African-American women. You know what I'm saying? And you have stereotypes about, you know, Caucasian women, you know, and black men and Caucasian men. But we want to expose these stereotypes today and tell them that these are false. Mm-hmm. Just because a small percentage of people might be that rotten apple that caused that judgment that you have, you know, or one experience you had with one person does not mean you should pass judgment on the whole entire race or culture because of one experience. Stereotypes. Some people even judge the way that they treat people due to the stereotypes that has been instilled to them since they were growing up. And we got our other queen live in the building on the check-in. Peace, queen. How you doing? 347.
347 in the house. That's Lisette. Peace, queen. How are you?
Hey, man. This what's up, man. I'm loving this.
We on time. We came to work on time. We all did.
I hate the fact that they think that all Puerto Ricans are late. Okay, I'm 7 minutes late. That doesn't mean we're all late.
That's black people. They think we all late. They actually gave it a name, CP time. That's color people. Yes. I sometimes it's true. I'm sorry. I can't lie. Sometimes it's true.
Popular belief.
You know, I think that's just universal because we, you know, you could be watching MTV or any other type of shows, and everybody's always talking about being fashionably late.
Yeah,
across the board, you know what I mean?
So,
ladies, so if this is a big deal in regards to saying that all African Americans or minorities or Hispanics, instead of, you know, they don't say, you know, Caucasians or whatever are late or whatever. They say that African Americans, you know, instead of them taking their 30 minutes of break, they take a whole hour, 2-3 hours. We saying, we ain't going live now. We ain't going live now. We saying, our people now do it, and you know what I'm saying? You're like, dog, where you been all day? Hey, man, what happened was, now, it might be one or two, but please don't judge all African Americans off of one or two people that do that. You know, you can't judge all African Americans off of one basis off of what one person, and we can't control people's behavior, but we can't judge, you know, a whole entire culture or race because of the fact one or two people mess up.
It's true. It's definitely true.
Yeah,
because you as an individual does not come in contact with the entire world, therefore you can't judge an individual that you've never met.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know, and that's definitely the truth. You know what I'm saying? I mean, everybody, you know what I'm saying, is totally different. You have some very punctual. You got some people that'll be there standing outside the door before the doors open. That are African Americans and minorities. So then you have, you know, in this whole fashionable world that we live in now, being the quote unquote fashionably late. Black people don't just do it. Caucasian people do it. Everybody does it.
Mm-hmm.
Every culture has a tendency of being late once or twice. Not all the time, but maybe once or twice. They might have done it in their life. Who hasn't been late before? You know?
On purpose, on accident.
Yeah.
Now, you know, you got some people that, you know, they had to, you know what I'm saying, go ahead and, you know, go to the mall or do this and that before they went to work. You know what I'm saying? Who knows? Who they might have had
go
went on break.
A birthday gift before the party. Show up 2 hours.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You late for your own party. You late for your own child's you know what I'm saying? Appointment. Like, I mean, come on now. It's not all just the people from that are African American and minorities. Everybody has a tendency of being late. And you know, the stereotype of African American women have attitudes. African women have attitudes. I think I'm African. And you know, because of our culture, sometimes we feel like certain things that African Americans might feel are not, you know, disrespectful. We find disrespectful. And we might be mad, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So the situation with that, I think everybody, it depends on the individual, you know. It depends on the individual and the way that they're raised. But, you know, go ahead, lady, speak on it.
Well, I know at work, it's maybe about 5 or 6 of us that are black. Honestly, all of us were late today. So it's kind of hard. I know that it's not true that all black people are late. But It's kind of hard because I know those people that are standing there looking like, damn, they all late, and then they all took long lunches, you know, and then we came back in the room cracking up loud. So there are stereotypes that we actually do validate, you know, but for the most part, we can't depict every African-American
yeah.
or person yeah, with that. But I know a lot of the stereotypes out there, I've probably proven them to be right. Some of them,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just the first to admit it. Some of them, not
like
all
them. Black folks love fried chicken. I mean, I haven't met one black person that doesn't like fried chicken.
I haven't gone to one black party and there wasn't fried chicken. And if it's not there, then it's not a real party to us, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, some stuff is just stereotypes are true.
Yeah, some stereotypes are true.
I mean, some stereotypes are true, you know what I'm saying? They got, you know, I'm sorry, we on grown people time right now. So, you know, some people don't get offended, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I've heard from some black men, you know, mm-hmm. that, you know, sometimes, you know, they said that, you know, black women are kind of, you know, funny with, you know, giving oral pleasure. And...
And that white woman is quick to give the oral pleasure? I mean, is that true?
Said that the African-American women are less likely to give oral pleasure than a Caucasian woman. They say our Caucasian women, you know, love to give oral pleasure. And just like they say that Caucasian men love to give oral pleasure also. So, is that true? I don't know. Hey, you have to know from experience. Hey, who knows?
But if you know, call us in.
Let us know.
Call in and let us know if that's true. 347-826-7722. That's your type.
I mean, that's what I've heard, but who knows?
No, I guess in order to really validate it, you would have to know every single last, you know, Caucasian and every single last black person to say, you know what, it's true.
Yeah.
I don't think we really know. What we do know is that there are stereotypes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
One of the ones, the top one to me personally is the fact that when I go out and I meet people and I network, you know, and we talk about, hey, do you have any children? I'm like, no, I don't have any children. And they're like, what? Like, if not having any children is an alien with three heads, you know?
Yeah, you're
yeah.
the minority now. Same thing here. You're the minority, and they look at you like you're an outsider.
Now, you're saying I'm
true.
The weirdo. Because I'm Puerto Rican, I'm supposed to have, like, 15 kids. Come on now. You know, I'm 28 years old. I have no children. You know what I'm saying? So you know what? Anybody who's stereotyping, yes, there is a Puerto Rican out here in the Bronx who doesn't have a million kids.
You go, girl.
You know?
And see, she's proven the stereotype wrong that
yeah.
there are, you know, I mean, even though we do see a lot of them, and it's not always Puerto Ricans,
mm-hmm.
we do see,
mm-hmm.
you know, some Mexicans, you know what I'm saying? So make sure you know which one it is, you know what I'm saying? We do see... you know, some Hispanics that do have, you know, big families and stuff, which they are very family-oriented. So one thing I can say, they're very family-oriented more than I would say most Americans are. So therefore, they live off the big family unit. So, I mean, you know, most of the Hispanics come from big families. But at the same time, you still have some that might wait a little longer before they have children or, you know what I'm saying, might only have one child. Doesn't mean that they, you know, every Hispanic is coming with a whole football team. You know what I'm saying? That's not true.
That's
no.
right.
And not every urban city kid is getting knocked up, you know, in their teens. There's actually urban city kids that are responsible, you know.
Well, Lissette, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and this is a stereotype that I have heard and probably at some point, I'm going to be honest, believed in my life, this is a stereotype, and I'm just not going to say do all, that all Hispanic people carry razors.
Carry razors?
Yes.
I have a razor in my pocket right now. I'm kidding. No, we don't all carry razors and knives in the back of my pocket. It doesn't work like that. Where I think that comes from is from a place where You know what I'm saying? You don't necessarily have to be Puerto Rican to carry a knife in the back.
Yeah.
It's the environment that we all are raised in. You know, not everybody is born with silver spoons. And what happens is when you're in the ghetto and you're trying to survive, you know what I'm saying, trying to make it out of the ghetto, try to, you know, do good even though what you're doing is wrong. Like, some of us know what we're doing is wrong and we try to stray away from it. A lot of people try to pull us back into the ghetto because once you try to better yourself, it's like, oh, you're not real now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or you're not keeping it real to your roots. And, you know, it all starts with the type of environments that we have. You know what I'm saying? So, I've carried a knife in high school. And that was because I was surrounded by boys, you know what I'm saying, trying to be a rebel and all this other stuff. But, you know, I grew up and I said, what the hell am I doing? You know, my protection is God. That's what I carry in the back of my pocket now. You know what I'm saying? So that's definitely a stereotype we will throw down, though. You know what I'm saying? So roll with us, I'll tell you that much. You ever got beef, I got your back, yo.
Well, you know, I have another stereotype, which, you know, I think a lot of, you know, some people have stereotypes that African-American people or, you know, African-American people or some minorities can't read, you know, and can't read or basically can't articulate themselves, you know, to have proper conversations, that everything is slang, that most of them, most African-American people are miseducated or, you know, have no lack of education. But you have a lot of them who are, you know, getting master's degrees, doctorates and stuff and articulate, but, you know, there's a stereotype that majority of them can't read. Not true.
That's definitely not true.
And you know,
because
we're
all educated minorities can read and articulate ourselves.
You know what goes hand in hand with that? When it comes to the Hispanic community, it's like we're unable to express ourselves. Like, we don't speak English. You know, we don't speak English. You know what I mean? And it's unfortunate, you know, and I got to say, when I first went into college, there were other, I don't even like to use the word minorities because, you know, the deal, but there was other Hispanics in the class, you know, and I did realize that a lot of us had trouble, not with English, we can express ourselves, but many of us did have problems reading out loud. You know, or having an oral presentation class and having the reading level of a third grader, you know, and you in college. But I also saw people who were able to kill it on stage, you know, and they'll give, like, the greatest motivational speech. You know what I'm saying? So that's definitely something that, you know, not being able to read and not being able to speak English, it goes hand in hand, I think.
That's definitely true.
I have an interesting stereotype.
Go ahead.
What about like the East, like the North versus the South? Like, there's a big stereotype. Like, you know, up North they don't dance, but down South they dance. Or up North they got hella attitude, and down South it's Southern hospitality. I mean, is this true?
No, because I've met some Southern people with bad attitudes, you know, and I've met a lot of Northern people who will dance and don't have that whole I have to pull through the wall attitude. I mean, you know, a lot of that came from music, though, with those stereotypes when it comes to, like, regions and North and South. A lot of that came from, hip-hop music, to be exact, you know.
That's real talk, because the other situation, I heard, you know, like, you know, I'm from New York, but I live in the DMV, but a lot of people were like, you know, when I was in college and stuff, you know, they like, you know, New Yorkers talk with their hands. New Yorkers have attitudes, you know what I'm saying? All New Yorkers, they never say hi to you. They look at you crazy. They mean, you know what I'm saying? But there's the New Yorkers that say, hey, what's up? You ask them for directions. Go down there. They cool. So that's a misconception. You have to be there to see the difference. You have to prove it's wrong before you start casting judgment on somebody, you know? Me being an African, me being Nigerian and stuff, you know, me raised with different, you know, saying values and different experiences being a Nigerian, an African person, boy, there were stereotypes, man. For some reason, you know, even though we're all black, African Americans and Africans, but
open.
I used to have African American people say to me, yo, because of my name, they like, yo, you an African booty scratcher. I'm like, where you get the African booty scratcher? I don't scratch my booty.
Well, that came from Boys in the Hood, didn't it? Remember the little boy said? He said he was from Crenshaw Mafia. He called the kid in the class the African booty scratcher. That came from Boys in the Hood. I'm sorry. Lush, I'm just telling you where it came from.
I was, if you got that, and then you got people, you know, African-American people who will sit here and say, you know, wow, I didn't know that, you know, that African women were beautiful. I was like, wow, what do African, they look like monkeys or something? Like, tell me what's up, you know?
No, but a lot of that does come from the complexion thing. Like I said, Lush, you can probably relate with me, but I'm sure you've heard it before, but people will come up to you and say, and be shocked when they say it, wow, you're pretty for a dark-skinned girl. Like shocked that you're actually pretty.
Yeah,
like
what?
It's not supposed to be happening.
What the hell is that supposed to mean, man?
Exactly. And now, is that a compliment? What am I supposed to say? Am I supposed to say thank you when you say that?
Yeah, that's crazy. Like, I mean, if you go to Africa, even in Ludacris' song, he said the most beautiful woman is in Africa, but all women are beautiful. You go to Africa, there are women that are light-skinned, dark-skinned, brown-skinned, mixed in Africa. You know what I'm saying? It's beautiful women in Africa. You know, I'm one. Holla at me. You already know what it is.
Call in the show.
You know what I'm saying?
But what about this stereotype? You ever heard that African woman, like, you know, that have been raised by their roots, have a thing against, you know, quote unquote African Americans or Black Americans?
I heard,
you know what
that.
I mean?
I've heard it.
Like, yeah. They don't.
Well, let me
in America,
and
they
kind of experienced it. Yeah.
Mhm.
I'm gonna tell you, I'm African, right? Mm-hmm. So in our country, even any African in our country, what they tell us, because these are the stereotypes that they show us. Just like, you know, you said, you know, the Caucasian, you know, might be superior and stuff like that. It's more like, you know what I'm saying, in our country, they tell us that African-American people are here, African-American people are lazy, that most African-American people are lazy. This is what we hear when coming up, you know, stereotype. Excuse me, in our country, we hear, like, you know, they're lazy. They got so many opportunities up here, but they just want to be lazy. They don't want to do nothing for themselves. They want to live on the block and stuff and stay with their grandmother and have a whole bunch of babies and stuff. This is the stereotypes we hear. Until you come here and you see that there are some that do stuff for themselves. But at the same time, there are some people that are sit there and live with their grandmother. And
that's just people in general.
That's just people in general. You got white, black, Hispanic that are just live with their family and have babies and throw it on their mothers and not do nothing with their life progressively. But that's everybody. But you know what I'm saying? This is what we're getting, you know what I'm saying, from, you know, where we're raised, is that, you know, most African-American people here are lazy. You know, and then when you sit here and you, like, engage in conversation and you see people's movement, you know, you say, okay, well, you know, some of these African-American people are actually doing stuff with themselves. You know what I'm saying? So you can't pass that judgment. But, I mean, there's some Africans that honestly, like, believe in that stereotype to a T, that they actually, you know, pass judgment on somebody without knowing their situation. And you got some African-Americans that will, you know, discriminate against an African. I've been discriminated just because of my name, because I have an African name, you know, that you know, have a stereotype that they're African, they don't know nothing, they're stupid, you know what I'm saying, because they're African. And, you know, a lot of Africans have a lot of high IQs and own businesses, and same as African-Americans and Caucasians, but you know, we get stuck on these stereotypes. It gets to a point where the stereotype is the way you live your life, is the way that you cast judgment on somebody. And you might be missing out on a good opportunity because of a stereotype.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it's unfair and it's wrong. You know, you need to basically, you know, do your research and find, you can't classify a person because of one or two bad seeds. And then have y'all guys heard this stereotype about Africans? They say, oh, you can't trust Nigerians or Africans. They do too many credit card scams, man. Too many scams.
I heard that.
I thought that was that stereotype.
I'd never heard that stereotype, but I was getting emails. You know, I didn't hear the stereotype, but I was getting emails to send my, what does it say? But I'm also getting emails from England to send my long lost kin $5,000, and they'll send me back $500,000.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. I'm going to deposit $1 million in your account.
Yeah.
One time I told this shorty a long time ago, I was trying to talk to. I said, yo, I'm Nigerian. I'm at, oh, dog, man, I can't talk to you. Yo, y'all do too many scams. What? You don't even know me.
Man, that's messed up.
He refused to talk to me because of a stereotype.
He missed out on a good opportunity, Lois.
He said, nah, son. He said, nah, man, you might do some credit card stuff with me, you know, mess my credit. I said, what? You don't even know me. You know, and it is, you have some people that might be bad seeds that have done that. But that doesn't mean to basically, you know, condemn every Nigerian or African person, you know what I'm saying? And they do call that 419. You know what I'm saying? They call that 419 a credit card scam cast that's doing that out there, you know, which I don't condone, but don't condemn all African people because of somebody else's mistakes. You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, literally, this dude was fine. He would not date me because I was Nigerian.
That is so messed up.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to laugh.
And you got the stereotype, like, you know, you got the stereotype, like, you know, light skinned women are better than dark skinned women.
Mm-hmm.
What's up with that? Or light skinned brothers are better than dark skinned brothers. What is the difference? What's the difference?
It's a, you big know what difference I'm to a lot of
you
people.
You fine. Point blank, period.
Yeah, it's a big. I'm gonna tell you something that somebody told me. And I worked in a barbershop, so we used to have like debates all the time. And this guy told me it's a difference when you're light-skinned and when you're dark-skinned in reference to the women. If you're a light-skinned woman, he said you can be bad, like, you know, cute. You can be okay or you can be ugly. But if you're a dark-skinned woman, there's no in-between. Either you're bad or you're ugly, and there's no in-between. And
that don't make no sense.
And I'm like, what are you talking about? He said, no, listen, if you're even a little off and you're dark-skinned, you're on the ugly side. You have to be all the way on point to be considered.
What is
bad,
wrong with dark skin?
Whoa.
I mean, as long as the skin is soft, please.
Who said that?
Felicia.
Where did that stereotype come from?
It's been a stereotype, I'm telling you. People feel like it's just more acceptable if you're a light skin. And in a lot of people, we call it the light skin pass. There's a lot of girls who get the light skin pass just because. You understand what I'm saying? And you don't even have to be on point. It's just you get that pass just because.
You're light skin.
We got to get some men on the phone because I'm telling you, they will agree to it. They'll tell you.
There's
black
just
men or just men?
Just men. Men in general, men who date black women. They'll tell you. Yep.
We gonna talk about that. And
because there'd be some fine chocolate brothers and there'd be some fine light-skinned brothers.
Yeah, but
like,
the thing
I don't
about it is,
discriminate.
With men, you're accepted more now. Now you're accepted more if you're dark-skinned. You see, it's
wow.
The opposite for the men. It's the opposite for the men. You know?
So next week we might do a show talking about this light and dark-skinned thing, and we're going to talk about this good hair thing, because we're going to about this good hair, like what makes the difference? What is good hair? Why do we fight so hard to try to, you know, process our hair and do all this stuff? For what reason? What is good hair? You know, why do some children come in and you know, feel so bad about themselves because they look at another young girl and say, hey, her hair is prettier than mine because of her natural hair? We're going to talk about that on next week's show because that brought to my attention, you know, on Deja, they
You watching Tyra today. Let me stop.
What'd you say?
I said, was you watching Tyra today?
Oh, no, I wasn't even watching Tyra today.
I
was
about that.
Hair
today.
Well, Chris Rock has a movie coming out called Good Hair, and it's about that.
Yeah, that's I had posted the blog on the site, and that's what I was going to talk about. Because it's serious. It's really detrimental when it comes to children, too, because these children are growing up into being, you know what I'm saying, you know, adults, and they're carrying that stuff with them, even all of us. Mm-hmm. We ain't going to lie. We can't sit here and lie and say the stereotype when you were coming up is the only way you really going to be accepted is if your hair is nice and straight and you know and looking, you know what I'm saying, almost close to being processed.
Well, you know what, Lawrence? I'm actually the result of that torment as a child. I can speak firsthand, man. I'll tell you. I went to a school where it was predominantly black, and, you know, I had a best friend. You know, my first best friend was black. Then I go into another school, and everybody's kind of like all Hispanics. And, you know, I found myself kind of being stuck in the middle because I was light-skinned and my hair was blonde, but I had, you know, I had the puff. I had an afro, man. I'm going to say it. I had an afro, y'all. I had an afro. And what happens is the Puerto Ricans will come out and say, oh, what's up with the nappy hair? You know what I'm saying? And then the black folks would be like, you know, what's this? A Puerto Rican girl with blonde nappy hair. And it broke my heart every day, and I hated my hair, and I wanted to cut it. I wanted to grow it out. I wanted to straighten it. I wanted to do so many things because of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I look at my mom, and my mom has the same afro. You know what I'm saying? The blonde afro. Where is the blonde afro coming from? I never seen it. All the other girls with tan skin, they had a beauty mark next to the lip. They had long, curly, beautiful hair. And here I am, light skin, Asian eyes with a nappy blonde hair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nappy blonde. Where did I fit in? I didn't feel part of the Puerto Ricans. I wasn't dark enough to be with the black girls. I wasn't Asian enough to be with the Asians. I felt like such a blonde sheep.
Wow.
Not the black sheep. I was the blonde sheep, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it was a torment for me, y'all. It was really, really bad, really bad. And it came to the point where I started researching my roots. And when I discovered that my great-great-grandfather was from Africa and came into Puerto Rico, you know what I'm saying? And he was dark as night. And my mother's grandmother was from Spain, you know, with the jet black hair and the light skin and the blue eyes. I was just like so intrigued, you know what I'm saying, to find out that, yes, it's okay to have a blonde afro. It's okay to be, you know what I'm saying, the light skin girl with the Asian, you know, the light skin girl with the Asian eyes and the nappy hair. It was all good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I started to accept that recently.
People need to just accept their natural self at some point, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And that's real talk right there. And that's a serious situation that a lot of young girls and women and men deal with, you know? We got a caller from the 601. You're live on Street Queens, the movement with the panel. All the beautiful, lovely ladies of Street Queens, the movement. We're talking about stereotypes. Tell us what your name is and where you're calling from. Yes.
Hi, I'm Terry Freeman. I'm from Mississippi.
Hi,
Mississippi,
how are you doing?
In the
head. Is this the young gentleman that I just talked to on Twitter, on the Twitter check-in?
Oh, yes.
How you doing today? Hey, could you tell us, since we, you know, because we don't want to be biased and stuff like that, because we have a Hispanic young lady, we have a Hispanic, and I'm African. So, could you tell us your background and stuff, so you know we can know, the audience can know.
Well, I grew up in the deep south. I mean, you don't get much more south than Mississippi in the 60s. my grandfather was just an out-and-out bigot. I don't think he was a member of the KKK, but he was pretty close. And my father was probably a little more prejudiced than most, but he let me be what I wanted to be. And I was always brought up, you know, that red and yellow, black and white, they were precious in his sight. You know, and I felt like that all God's people are created equal.
Mm-hmm. And that's definitely true. So, you know, you being from, you know, Caucasian heritage and you know, with your father and you saying, you know, basically, you know, him being on that side kind of a little racist or having different views than you, you know, you coming out, you know, the way you are, you know, open-minded and everything. What were some of the stereotypes that you might have heard, you know, coming up and stuff like that, you know, of, you know, other races?
Well, you know, the black folks were lazy, you know, no account, they didn't do much, which is not necessarily, like, you know, it's true, the hardest people working people I know are black. Anything else, there's good white folks, good black folks, good Hispanics.
Mm-hmm.
I live in Texas, and a lot of my friends are Hispanic, and they're the hardest working people you'll ever meet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think a lot of the misconceptions that people have is just because they don't know them.
Yeah, definitely.
They've
never
been exposed to them.
It's just like a generational thing when you come from those times and you're just brought up in a household that believes those stereotypes, and you're like brainwashed if you're never exposed to those type of people to see this otherwise, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, and I teach in an all-black school, you know, and it's kind of interesting. It's kind of sad, but it's interesting in a way that the black kids are scared of the white folks, and the white folks are scared of the black folks. So, you know, you don't go out at night because you're scared the other one's going to get you. So,
wow.
That's the thing down in Mississippi. I was watching a documentary, like, as far as racism down there, it's still pretty relevant in the segregation. Does your high school, I was watching a documentary, does the high school do like a black prom and a white prom? Do they do that?
We have a lot of private schools.
Wow.
It's not necessarily a all-white private school as much as it is the haves and the have-nots. I mean, you know, poverty doesn't make a whole lot of racial discrimination. You're either poor or you've got money.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Morgan Freeman paid for the prom up in Charleston.
That's the documentary I watched.
Yeah.
They have a white prom and a black prom all the way up until 2008.
Oh, wow. That was
great.
Just last year.
Mm-hmm. Out there in Mississippi. Mm-hmm.
I think it was different schools. I mean, you know, so what are you going to do?
Can I ask you a question? This is Lizette speaking. Do they know who Martin Luther King was out there, like, as far as the white children? Do they know who Dr. Martin Luther King was and what he represented for our community?
Was it the you're going to find it's hard to believe, but the white kids probably know more than the black kids do.
That's deep right there. That is so interesting.
You know?
Is that because they don't pay attention in class? Or because I'm pretty sure y'all are teaching it.
Well,
well,
you know,
are they teaching it? Are they teaching it?
They, I don't teach it. I mean, I teach technology. But, you know, and we go across it, but, you know, I mean, they don't know who W.B. Du Bois was, you know, and I cover it, but it's probably not.
Do they know who George Washington was?
So.
But, you know, but see, this is the other thing, ladies, we have to understand is that, They're still in an area that is still, you know, still developing when it comes to that, you know, that sense that we're at right now when it's, you know, accepting certain differences. That school system, we don't know how that school system is ran. We don't know what's going on.
It's segregated
in that.
Segregated down there in the South still when it comes to the board, the school system. It's pretty sad that everybody else in modern times have accepted the integration, but in the South, it's like still relevant in these times. It's 2009. Like, if it wasn't for Morgan Freeman, those kids would have had a segregated prom still.
Wow.
You know, it's
paid
like
for that.
Well, yeah.
So Delta, the question we have, you know, we're talking about stereotypes. The other thing I wanted to ask was, like, even with the school system, you being a teacher, you know, because of, you know, the high, you know, sense of racism and stuff like that in that area, is there like a stereotype put, you know, on the minority children in the school versus the Caucasian children in there?
No.
Okay. All right.
It's you know, I'm in a kind of a unique situation in the fact that I am in the public schools in one of the richest counties in Mississippi. So people that have money, be they black, white, Indian, whatever, send their kids to a private school.
Oh, okay.
People that are rank and file, blue collar, send their kids to this particular school. And, you know, and I live, well, we teach in a predominantly, it's almost all black community.
Oh, okay. Cool. That's cool. I have to commend him for being a teacher because, you know, I teach too, and, you know, and Lissette taught also. You know, you being a teacher, you know, is definitely a challenging job, and the different odds and the different things you have to deal with. I have to commend you, you know, for definitely being a teacher and being open-minded as you are, you know, even dealing with, you know, the times that are going down in your area. Also, but
if we don't help each other, who's going to help? You know, you write off all these kids, you know. Somebody's got to teach them, and somebody's got to break that line.
Really respectable right there.
Definitely.
You know, I'm not even going to lie. I've had a stereotype about Mississippi, period. Like,
yeah.
I had a friend who went to visit, and he got lost driving around, and he winded up in one of those dead-end streets, and he got out the car to find out, you know, if he can, you know, find his way back to see if he saw anybody, and somebody pulled out a rifle on him and said, you know, get the F off my property, you end, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And when he told me this, I was 18 years old, so it kind of stood in my mind, and I'm like, oh, I'm never going to visit Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that I should, I mean, should I be scared to visit Mississippi? Should I be scared, you know, should I
drive down a street that maybe is a white block?
Mm-hmm.
Will
no.
they, like, how bad is it or is it not, you know, like?
It's not, well, I say it's not bad. I've never heard of anybody saying bad. Now, in the 60s, it was bad.
Mm-hmm.
That was 40 years ago, 50 years ago, whatever. But now I think we've gotten a lot of people that understand each other. It's a different culture.
Mm-hmm.
I think you being raised in New York, were to come to Mississippi, you would find it almost as different a culture as the whites versus the blacks.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cultural thing.
Mm.
Well, I lived in Manhattan for 3 years, so you know I know how that works.
Mm. That's some real talk right there. Hold on and stay on the line with us, Delta. You know, you definitely give us some good feedback on here. We got a caller from the 718. Caller from the 718. You're live in the building with Street Queens, the movement, the panel. Host Lissette, Michelle, my sister Sabri. And what's your background? I'm talking about stereo.
Unless your phone is cutting out.
Yeah, unless your phone is horrible.
Oh, can you guys hear me now?
Yes.
Mhm. From the 718. Tell us where you calling it, and we're talking about stereotypes today. She Queens the Movement.
Yo, I'm calling from the BX and the 718.
Welcome, BX. What's your name?
This is Latin from the BX.
I'm
in a wheelchair. And there's a lot of stereotypes on people like me because I'm in the music business, and you know, things happen, but I try to get through it day by day. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Do you have any stories to share with us in regards to the stereotype? Like, what kind of obstacles have you experienced?
Like, with the fact of me being in a wheelchair, I've been in this business since I was 13 years old, and a lot of people see me driving around, and they ask me, yo, you in a wheelchair, how could you be in the music business? And I tell them all the time, my wheelchair don't stop me from being me. The only person that could stop me is me. That's how
correct.
It is.
Wow.
You know? And
are
I
you remember, a performer?
Yes, I'm a performer, and I also have my own clothing line. So basically, everybody in this business know who I am, but I want people to know that people that have disabilities or normal people, and they deserve to be treated with respect. That's just how it is.
I agree 100%. Do you have a website that we can check out?
It's streetsaremine.com. That's my clothing line. And, huh?
All right, cool. streetsaremine.com in the house? Oh, my God, that's awesome.
streetsaremine.com. We got jerseys, fitted, all that, you know.
Alright, so we're going to definitely check out the website.
Check it out. Have a good night, ladies.
Good night. Thank you, Latin. Good everybody who's listening, man, check out the website, streetsaremine.com, y'all. Go ahead and purchase like 500 pieces, yo. It's hot.
And it goes out. And ladies, I just want to say, for all y'all ladies that's doing y'all thing in this business, keep doing y'all thing. If I could do it in a wheelchair, y'all could do it walking. That's how it is.
Wow. Thank you.
All right. Later.
Wow. Wow.
That was a smooth plug,
Lisa. We got a conference after this, all right, y'all?
Yeah, we got to talk about it. Wow, we got this after the show. But much love.
Let me get my lawyer on the phone. Let me stop.
Yeah. We're gonna have a conference after the show. You know what I'm saying? That's another story. But what the gentleman just said, I appreciate. You know what I'm saying? You know my man coming through because No, everybody, we're laughing because we have like an inside thing that we have going on or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So that's what.
Give it up, Les. Just give it up. Yeah. We're not covering it up right.
You know, because
co-founder of streetsaremine.com. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, shout out to Fesco D-Star, founder of streetsaremine.com. You know, Matt Love to Latin. Go ahead, do your thing. Whatever it is you're doing, promoting or.
Yeah,
you know whatever it is. I agree, you know.
Yeah, but the thing is, you know, she has a company called Streets Are Mine also, and he said his thing is Streets Are Mine, you know. So I don't know, you know, what's going on with that. But that's a whole nother subject. Let's back to the stereotypes and everything, because you know what I'm saying. That was holding this different situation. But the situation is, what he talked about, though, is a true thing, because I deal with children that have learning disabilities in the schools, and a lot of people, you know, they deal with IEPs, basically stating what they're able to do, and basically I have some children that have ADD and ADHD. Just because they have ADD and ADHD does not mean that the children... You know, just because the children have ADHD or ADD doesn't mean that the children aren't capable to do things normal children can. They can also. Sometimes their brains might be accelerating a little bit faster than normal children. Some of them get fast, you know what I'm saying? So we got this stereotype, and it hurts me sometimes because a lot of the normal children might pick on them. They have they basically think that all of the children are classified as retarded. They're just retarded. Because you're in special ed, you're retarded. But there's mental retardation, but that might be in your classification, but that doesn't mean every child is retarded. And if they are classified as mental retardation, doesn't always mean they're totally retarded because they might not be able to do things as fast as you can, but they can still comprehend, you know. And it's a stereotype that because you are in special ed means that you might can't advance. I know some children that have been in special ed and have got out of special ed classes and have excelled and have doctorates and have degrees and are doing well for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? No. And I know you can agree with me on that too, Delta, because you teach it. You go ahead and, speak on it.
Let me say this, that, you know, they have great medications now for ADHD.
Uh-huh.
You know, my daughter was 20 years old before they diagnosed her with it, and her grades just skyrocketed because she could focus. Before then, she couldn't focus. She was just all over the board, you know. And the way that they've got it set up now, I can see kids that I think have ADHD. But the parent that they have ADHD or I think they have ADHD, then the school district has to pay for their treatment.
Wow. You know what else is that kills me is that even the parents, looking at the parents, you got the parents that are sit there and say, now you might look at a student that's a regular student, you might observe them, they have some tendencies of ADHD, they have some characteristics of an ADHD student, or an ADD student, you know what I'm saying? And you're telling them, and they're like, you know, I'm not understanding, my child is bad, he's not bad, he has ADHD or ADD. He has a certain different learning style different than the regular students. Doesn't mean that he's different, he just has a different learning style. But when you tell the parents that, they say, you trying to say my child is retarded? Why is there this stereotype that when a child has a certain learning, you know, a learning disability or a different style of learning, means that the person is retarded? That's not true, and it's really that it's something that's a chain that has been stuck into people's head. And it really needs to be classified that the fact that just because you have ADD and ADHD does not mean that you cannot be functional in life. Does not mean you're retarded.
You're right.
You know?
Absolutely right. I agree.
You
with
know?
You. And I wish we could, as a society, I wish we could pull out these kids and get them some medication or whatever they need to get them back in, you know, where they need to be.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. You know, and also with the paralegics that are like the people that are basically, you know, paralyzed from the waist down, people that are disabled in some way. Just because a person is disabled does not mean that they're not strong to do things. Just because a person is disabled does not mean that they can't function or they can't do things like regular people. There are people that are disabled that can drive. They have the people that are disabled that you know, that do their everyday living, they put their clothes on, and they have a stereotype that disabled people can't get normal jobs. Yes, they can.
Absolutely.
What about the marathons that they run?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're in better shape than all of us put together, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Beethoven was stone cold deaf.
It comes from a place of, you know, lack of knowledge, you know, it's really being ignorant to the types of people that are out there. And if you don't know about the other cultures or the other types of people that exist in this world, then you're going to have a closed mind and you're going to have the stereotypes and you're going to say things that you don't necessarily have sights on.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, education.
And that's some. But see, at the same time, stereotypes are based on miseducation. Stereotypes are based on narrow-mindedness. Stereotypes are based on values that and your based on your environment of, you know, the way you were raised and the way you came up, you know, which a stereotype is basically based on individual's experience or based on a person's opinion. And we need to break out of these stereotypes because they can be very detrimental to an individual. Or you might miss out on the opportunity because of a stereotype, because you're basing your judgment on a stereotype. You don't like me because I'm African. Wow. I don't like you because you're white. Wow. Maybe you could have been my bestest friend. Maybe I could have learned something from you. But because of the stereotype, we decide to brush people off or avoid them because they're not of the same class you are, because of certain things you heard about that area. Oh, I heard those people, you know what I'm saying, from Compton are all drug dealers and they're Crips and they're doing this and they're doing that. And you might have somebody coming from Compton that speaks excellent English, that doesn't know a thing about gangbanging, and has a PhD. You know? Yeah. Just because a group of people do something or one person does something doesn't mean everybody should be classified as that. Stereotypes are serious. Stereotypes can hurt people, you know?
I think the stereotypes is the number one killer in our communities. Yeah.
But then in the point, you got some stereotypes that might be proven, you know, for real. Hey, they say that, you know, Puerto Ricans, you know what I'm saying, the Puerto Rican men like to, you know, provide, you know, oral pleasure, you know what I'm saying, off the break. And, you know, and if you engage with them, a lot of them will tell you, yes, I will do that.
So close to the show, how that looks.
So, you know, but I mean, hey, you know, some things, but stereotypes might be true. Two might be true to a certain region or a certain group of people, or maybe one individual, but do not classify a whole majority of people because of one incident. It's unfair. You're not giving anyone a chance. You're passing judgment before you experience what's really going to go on, you know. And it's very unfortunate that, you know, a lot of people base their everyday life off of a stereotype, you know. You know, so, I mean, you guys can call in. You guys can call in at 347-826-7722. Call into the show. We're going to go to a quick commercial, and when we be back, we'll talk more about stereotypes. And stay on the line with us, Delta, because we definitely, you know what I'm saying, we're feeling you, man. Today, you're our white chocolate, baby. You're our white chocolate. You know, we're going to a quick commercial, and we'll be back, okay?
All right.
Having a party? Need a DJ?
Need a DJ?
How about the best damn DJ in the business? DJ Hustle. Visit DJ Hustle at HustleEvents.com to book your next surprise birthday party, corporate event, or bachelor party. With over 40,000 songs, DJ Hustle is ready to play any request. Check out DJ Hustle at HustleEvents.com.
That's HustleEvents.com.
You can never hustle hard enough.
Attention, music connoisseurs. Are you frustrated and aggravated from listening to conventional radio? Sick and tired hearing the same lame 20 songs over and over again? You need to be listening to blogtalkradio.com/lushradioonline. Lush Radio Online. Hosted by Lushy Lush. Lushy Lush has her ear to the street and plays all the new and independent artists out there. To listen to Lushy Lush, log on to blogtalkradio.com/lushradioonline and
don't forget to call into the station. 347-826-7722. Independent artists and record labels can submit music to Lush Radio Online MP3s at gmail.com. Lush Radio Online, you just officially got stamped.
It's your girl, Lushie Lush. Did you ever think about picking up a magazine to see nothing but the hottest ladies that's doing hot things in the industry, from models to business owners? We trying to find out the beauty outside and the beauty within. So if you thought about that, pick up E2K Magazine at www.myspace.com/E2K Magazine or www.everything2.com. Or email them at E2K Magazine@gmail.com. Holla at your girl, man. Pick up E2K Magazine and support them in their movement, man. Like Nike say, just do it, do it, do it.
Yeah, yeah, what's happening? This Big Wishbone, Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Yeah, this your boy Kool Rock from the Fat Boys. And when I'm in the DMV, I'm always rocking with my girl Lush on Lush Radio Online.
That's what's up. That's what's up. Street Queens, the movement. And we're talking about stereotypes tonight, man. You always heard that stereotype. All black people eat chicken. You know what I'm saying? That's all they like is eating chicken. You know what I'm saying? Stereotypes, you know what I'm saying? Different stereotypes that we hear passing judgment. We want to expose them as basically, you know what I'm saying, false, based on opinion, not based on fact. So we're talking about it today. Call in and tell us what a stereotype you heard. Call in. You're live with the Street Queens, Felicia Sabri, Lissette Lissette, CZ Michelle, your girl Lushie Lush, and our wonderful guest Delta from Mississippi. Definitely come in here giving his opinion and his facts and his experience on the show. You know what I'm saying? We're definitely getting it in. Stereotypes, man. I know you guys heard the stereotype about, you know, African American people loving to eat chicken. I know everybody heard that one.
I don't think that's truth.
Chicken right now, and I'm black.
I think that's truth. I'm sorry.
Good move.
I'm gonna be quiet on that one.
I mean, do all Hispanics eat rice and beans?
You know it. No, but you know what? I gotta be honest though. You know,
it might be orange, it might have beans, it might have corn, but they eat rice.
We gonna have our rice, but we'll have Italian food on the side, like. On the low, man, we love being Italian food. We love Italian food. We do, you know. Especially the Puerto Ricans from New York, like they'll ask for some lasagna from time to time. You know what I'm saying?
So basically, it's not true. They don't always eat beans and rice. They spread it around a little bit. But and a lot of people think that, you know. That there's a stereotype that all Asians eat rice, but at the same time they eat various different things. But the reason why they do have a lot of rice is because that's what they were raised on. They have a numerous amount of rice in their culture, in their area. You know what I'm saying? Just like me being African, you know what I'm saying? A lot of times we ate a lot of rice too. It's all about your culture and the way you're raised. You know what I'm saying? So, but we eat different, various different foods. We eat the same food you guys eat. I think every culture eats the same stuff, especially when they come to America. You know, they're westernized, and, you know, they're eating everything. They don't always eat, you know what I'm saying, the typical things you say that they eat, you know. And I think the chicken point, you know.
It's true. It's true. And I want a black person on the phone to say it's not. I'm waiting for somebody to say that they don't eat fried chicken. I'm waiting for somebody to say that they don't eat fried chicken.
Because
they lying.
I'm going to
honestly believe and stamp and say
unless
that
you're a vegetarian,
no,
you're eating fried chicken.
No, but they were not a vegetarian when they came out. They tasted a bit of chicken when they came out, when they were born, and then after that they became a vegetarian. But I'm going to let you know, if there is somebody call in right now and tell me what came out the womb, you did not eat a piece of chicken, okay? Tell me that in your whole life cycle that you never ate chicken. So call in right now and prove us wrong. 347-826-7722. Live on Street Queens the Movie and tell us I did not eat chicken. I was not
eating chicken.
I want to hear a black person not like fried chicken. That's what I want to hear.
I'm going to tell you the rumor that all black people like watermelon is not true. I don't like watermelon, but the rumor that all black people eat watermelon, that's not true.
Yeah, that's not true. I used to like it. I really don't like it like that no more.
Back in the day, maybe, but I'm not, like, so keen on watermelon. That's not, like, you know what I'm saying, always the big thing right there. And they always think, you know, after eating sunflower seeds. I don't eat those, you know.
Wait, but I'm going to tell you, though, I went to the grocery store, no lie. I'm going to tell you, I was in the grocery store, no lie, and they had a sale on watermelon. And all you saw was us, black people surrounding them, handing them to each other, putting them in carts. And it was funny to me. I had to walk by and laugh and shake my head because I'm like, damn, maybe it is true. But I'm telling you, they were handing them to each other, passing them in carts, and I've never seen anything like it in my life.
We do that with the rice when there's a special.
All black people love Kool-Aid. I mean,
I got to tell you, I just made Kool-Aid last night, and
in my refrigerator.
Yes, right? Go ahead, Delta.
Delta's why he said that he has Kool-Aid in his fridge. So
yeah,
I think that's all around. I think Kool-Aid is international. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Kool-Aid smile. You know
what
I'm saying?
Yeah, Kool-Aid knows no color. Kool-Aid knows no color.
No.
With a silver spoon in there, man.
Red or blue?
What did you say?
I said, I don't think any of us were raised with a silver spoon in our mouth. And you ate, grew up what you could afford. And cheap. And they were good.
Yep.
And chicken was cheap. Good.
One package of Kool-Aid would make like 5 gallons of juice. What?
Exactly. And you could get 8 packs for $2. Okay.
I get Kool-Aid for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
That's real talk. We got another caller from the 347. New York is live in the building. Street Queens, the movement. Peace caller 347. Tell us your ethnic background. We're talking about stereotypes. And tell her where you're representing in your name, baby. What's up, that? Oh, I guess they bounced. I guess they got scared. Thank you again for calling, though.
They were drinking the Kool-Aid.
I have a stereotype, though, and I have to clear this up, that black women are the only women who wear weave. That is not true.
Oh.
You got your Paris Hiltons. You got your Britney Spears.
The whole Hollywood is fake, please.
Yes, you got the girl with the pussycat doll. You know, it's not just black women who are wearing weave.
That's true. I'm planning on rocking a weave next week. Stop playing. My birthday's coming up. I want to be fabulous next week.
It's not common in the South, except for black women.
Look at that.
That's a California, New York thing.
For real?
Really?
Yeah. I've seen a white woman wear a weave.
You said they don't wear weaves down there. That's what you said.
I've never seen one. I mean, all the kids have them, and all my kids in my classes have them. That's all they do is play with their hair. But
nowadays, white women who want the long blonde hair, and they're going out getting those long weaves. Like
some of them, you don't see what that.
I can do this too. And you got regular women that got weaves now that are non-black.
And some women you really don't see. How many times do you see Paris Hilton without her weave? Or Britney Spears? You know, how many times do you see her without their weave? Very rare.
Even Jennifer Lopez with her piece.
Lopez.
Especially in Hollywood. I mean, Hollywood, you're made up from head to toe. So it's like A-list down to F-list. They all have fake hair, fake eyelashes, everything.
Yeah.
Fake.
Yeah.
I'm trying to change the game. I'm trying to come in all natural. And I don't want to get nothing on me.
Good luck. What did you say, Delta?
That all natural.
I it's definitely the truth. I mean, you know, you got Christina Aguilera, all these other young ladies that are in the industry, and you know, we don't know what is real anymore half of the time, you know, and it's all around across the border because Asians wear weaves, you know, they sell them, you know, they sell them to the Asians, you know, wear weaves when they were doing it, you know, even with the you know, the plays in Japan and stuff, they wore wigs and stuff. I mean, you know, everybody wears weaves, you know. It's not just African-American women. Yay, everybody
yep.
wears
yep.
weaves, you know. Okay. And now they got weaves in so many. They match it. They got them in gray head. They got them in blonde. They got them in everything. So everybody's wearing a weave. Your grandmother
exactly.
might have even
a with these lace fronts. Yeah. You just don't know what's real.
Oh, yeah, my goodness. You really don't know. You have no idea. And it's funny because a lot of the times you see somebody with a weave, they have hair. Majority of the people who wear weaves are not bald, you know? They're
oh, yeah,
hair.
That's true. Many of them want a little more length, maybe an inch or two.
Yeah.
A lot of them just want to fill out their length.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them, like myself, only do it on holidays.
Mm-hmm.
Birthdays.
Exactly.
You might catch me with an 18-inch weave next week.
That's true.
Yeah, because, you know, but it is a stereotype, though. It really is, you know. It's like, you know, being Puerto Rican and having the beautiful, long, curly hair. Man, if I had the long, beautiful, curly hair, I wouldn't be buying an 18-inch weave next week. I just want to rock it out for my birthday, so, you know. But it is,
wow.
it is a stereotype.
Hey, you sure did fool me, Lissette, because, hey, when I saw
that. I just started thinking, like, wait, I thought that was Lissette.
Half of it.
I can't believe it, because, girl, when that Lissette, we see Lissette, so we like, girl, that girl got some hair on her. You know what I'm saying? Exposing us to some new stuff. This that new stuff.
I have enough. I could cut it in half and share it if you like.
Check out
pictures, y'all. Check out the pictures. MySpace.com.
You know what I'm saying? That's definitely what's up, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm definitely, you know what I'm saying? Definitely. This is some real serious stuff right here. We definitely exposing some real stuff out here. I'm definitely glad that we here in the building doing this thing, man, for real. You know what I'm saying? Because these stereotypes are serious, you know. These stereotypes are serious, and, hey, you know, not and you know, not all women put the, basically have the stereotype and everything because of the fact that, you know, their hair is like, you know, they're bald-headed. That's where they're wearing a wig or wearing a weave. A lot of women got long hair. They just want to feel different. They just want to feel different. They want to be a different person. They might want to surprise their man and be a different person for them. That's why they put it on, but not because your bald head is why you have on. Some women's hair might not be that thick to, you know, basically wear their hair out. They might need to add a couple of extensions to make their hair look fuller. You don't know what's going on. So we need to really get off the whole stereotype thing. But I swear to God, Lissette, girl, you fooled the mess out of me. Girl, I can't. Can't believe it, pimpin'.
Believe it, girl. It's real.
Ew, I can't believe it, man. You got me on that. You fooled everybody.
No, but you know what? On a deeper scale, like the very first time that I went out to experiment with my hair, you know,
mm-hmm.
I told you I was in that stage. I'm like, you know, everybody has long, beautiful hair, or, you know, you have the black ladies who have the nice, full hair. And then me, I'm in the middle because I'm like, okay, you know, with the afro and it's blonde, like nobody ever saw a blonde afro before. So when I started experimenting and I bought my first ponytail piece, you know, the first thing that I would hear is, well, you think you're a black girl? You know what I'm saying? I'm like, no, I think that I would like, you know, a longer ponytail piece. Like, I don't understand. You know what I'm saying? So this stereotype has carried for years. You know, I talk about when I was in high school, you know what I'm saying? So back then it was like, you know, only black girls wear that stuff. Why are you wearing it? And I never understood that. I'm wearing it because my ponytail was like, 4 inches long and I wanted it to be 8 inches long. Like, you know, what's the problem? You know what I'm saying? And, you know, it's the stereotype, man, that will kill a brother, kill a sister. This is so crazy.
Wow. This is, you know what I'm saying?
Is that something that started in your culture that didn't translate over into the white culture? You know,
wow.
I'm sure people have longer hair that hadn't even considered having a weave.
Wow.
That's
some serious stuff right here, man. And see, you see the situation that Lissette's talking about. She's saying that she's just accepting it, but, like, you know, you got children that are growing up right now. Like, wow, you know, so this is basically telling you that because I'm indifferent in some kind of way of the stereotype that the society says, you know, we're supposed to be, or this culture says that, oh, if you're Hispanic, you have to have long, beautiful, wavy hair that's all the way down your back, and you know, you can flick it around. And if you don't have that, does that make you feel like an outsider? I mean, you don't belong then, you know?
My own people has made me feel, you know, out of the loop because I didn't necessarily look like them. You know, I wasn't the tan-skinned girl with the dark hair. You know, I was the total opposite. You know, and I was, you know, I experienced the stereotype from my own people, you know. And it was sad because the way my mother raised me was, you know, I was 5 years old. My first best friend was black. I always saw past, you know, the complexion or the outer shell. I always looked for the person's heart. And so did my mother. My mom raised me to be that way. You know what I'm saying? So when I first experienced what stereotyping was, I was heartbroken. I didn't understand it. I didn't fit in. It carried on for years. And it wasn't until recently. I'm 28 years old, and I just came to terms with everything, you know, a year ago. You know? And I accept my hair, and I accept my eyes, and I accept my complexion for what it is. You know what I'm saying? I'm a still experiment because that's the industry that we're in. You got to be up to par with the style. You have to be part of, you know, the fashion, and you want to stand out and be noticed, you know, for your own good. But not, it doesn't come from a place where I'm insecure, you know. And it feels so good to be able to experiment with different styles and know that it's not coming from a place of insecurity. It's coming of a place called curiosity, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it was a big milestone for me.
And that's a real talk. You know, I felt the same way because, like I said, I'm Nigerian, I'm African. And, you know, because of the fact that I was born there, I came here when I was 2, I understand the dialect more than I speak it. So when I'm speaking my language, it's more like, you know, it's almost like how you do Spanglish, but they can understand what you're saying and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not totally like, you know, fluent, you know. But, I mean, it's fluent. They can understand. Like, I could talk to them and have a conversation, but it might not be exactly like the correct, but they can understand what I'm saying because they might laugh a little bit, right? But I understand, like, if they have I understand and I can repeat to them in English everything that they're saying, right? Or repeat to them, like, in my culture. But, you know, it's like they basically, when they come, and the first thing they look at me, they're like, nah, you're not Nigerian because you don't look like one. You don't talk like one. I was like, why? Because I don't have the accent now. Then when I speak in an accent, they're like, wow. What does an African have to look a certain way because I don't have tribal marks on? I don't. My mother didn't want me to have tribal marks. You know what I'm saying? Not all Africans have tribal marks on their face. You know, my mother didn't want me to have that when I was growing up. So, you know, that's not something that I had. My mother has tribal marks, but I don't. But even people from my own culture, from my own country, look at me indifferent because I don't look like a typical Nigerian woman. You know, I have the same values and everything, but they would never know that, you know what I'm saying, if they don't know me. But they pass judgment on me because they have a stereotype, like I told you before, about African-American people. So they already classify me as an African-American person, so they look at me different. You know what I'm saying? So so basically, I'm shunned out because I don't look like their quote-unquote Nigerian person, but I am Nigerian, full-blooded. And you know, and it's crazy, and you know, sometimes it hurts. sometimes it hurts, but, you know, I've come to grips with it. Like, I can't be what they want me to be because I can't look like what they, you know. And I'm not trying to put my people. You got some people that look like they fresh off the boat that look crazy looking. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not, that's not the way I was raised. And you got the stereotype that Africans don't wear deodorant. I was born to put soap and water and put deodorant on. You know what I'm saying? And some people of certain cultures in Africa might not do that, but I do. So don't classify me because one or two people you met do that. That's the way they practice. That's not me. And I'm African, you know. And then I hate this classification where you're saying all Africans when you have different countries in Africa. I'm Nigerian. So you got Somalians that might be a little bit smaller. You got people from South Africa, you know, classify a certain tribe or a certain group of Africans with somebody else with the whole entire Africa, which is not true.
Mm-hmm.
South Africa, they say all Africans got AIDS, right? Because the outbreak of AIDS in South Africa. That's South Africa that has an outbreak of AIDS. South Africa. That's not every part of Africa. Morocco is rich. Nigeria is rich. Most of the western areas rich. There's a couple of different parts in Africa that are very rich. That have, you know, medical supplies and people are preventive of what they're doing. And Nigeria is very westernized, you know what I'm saying, just like America. But you would never know that if you've never been there. Or if all you know is the United States of America, you will never know the difference. You will never know the difference. So sometimes we have to step outside of our comfort zone and explore different places and different regions and live with these people to know what they do before you start passing judgment and creating a stereotype. Just like it really hurt me one day when somebody told me, they said, you know, I didn't know, you know, that African women, you know what I'm saying, you know, you don't look like a typical African because you don't smell like one. What the hell does that mean?
Oh, wow.
It really disgusts me, you know, to hear, you know, people, you know, say certain things, and it's like, you got a stereotype because you might have met one or two people that might have decided that they didn't want to wear deodorant that day. You know, that's not me. You know, it's crazy.
People really have to sit back and kind of say, you know, have I stereotyped? Because I've been guilty. I've stereotyped, you know. And I swear, I'm so glad that I have the conscience enough to step back and say, you know what? I don't know every single white person in this world to say that all white folks are this, that, and the third. You know, I don't know every black person or every Hispanic person in this world to judge everybody by this one group of people. You know what I'm saying? So I'm really thankful that I can have that type of conscience to say, you know what, I kind of overstepped that my boundaries. You know what I'm saying? I shouldn't have said that. And a lot of people really need to kind of, like, be on the humble tip and admit when they're wrong and admit that not everybody fits in that one category. When I went into the poetry world, I saw so many eclectic individuals, you know, both well-spoken Hispanics and well-spoken African-Americans and well-spoken, you know, Asians. And I'm like, wow, you know, like, we can rise up. We can do this. But we've really got to step aside ourselves and say, you know what? I love the world for who they are, the mix, you know what I'm saying, all the colorful people in the U.S. I love the fact that it's different cultures in this pot, you know?
Yeah, and you got even dealing with this music, with this hip-hop and everything, they're like, yo, you know, people overseas, they don't appreciate hip-hop. They don't know what hip-hop is, you know what I'm saying? You know, these Asian, with these Japanese, you don't know enough. You go to Japan, they know how to pop lock and break better than any black person I've seen in my life. You got some Asian people take the Jabberwockies. You got some Asian people take the Jabberwockies, you know what I'm saying, and the cats that Missy Elliott had, that know how to pop lock and they know how to break better than any person I've seen in my life. But we just cast judgment because we don't know. And they appreciate, you know, true hip-hop overseas than they even do here, you know?
That's right.
So, you know, we're breaking the cycle of stereotypes. Stop casting judgment and basing your opinion on stereotypes, you know what I'm saying? It's just detrimental to the children. It's detrimental to you, and it's hurting you from experiencing new things in your life. You might have had shunned away a good friend or a job opportunity or anything just because you're basing your opinion off of a stereotype. So, you know what I'm saying, on that point, you know what I'm saying, I want you guys, you know, to tell your final thoughts on how you feel about the stereotype issues and what, you know, that you think that we should do to solve this situation that's going on. You know, go ahead, Felicia, and tell us what you think. Felicia? You there? Lissette?
I am, queen.
Oh, girl, we thought she lost you for a second. Yeah, we want to, you know, wrap up the whole situation in regards to stereotypes. What are your final, you know, feelings and thoughts about the whole stereotype situation?
Don't judge a book by its cover.
Real talk right there.
Don't let the stereotypes run your judgment. Get to know a person because you might be missing out on a great opportunity.
Definitely. And Lissette, how do you feel about, you know, the situation?
I feel that everybody should get up tomorrow and do something different. Do something besides themselves. You know, say hello to the person in the elevator. You know, if you're walking into the store, acknowledge the man behind the counter. You know, say hello if he's Arab or if he's Asian. Do something different tomorrow. You know, you might make a friend. You might make an associate. You might come across an opportunity, but just try to reach out to somebody that you've never tried to reach out before and look for that person's heart. Don't look for that person's shell. You know, don't look at their shell. Just look at their hearts and see what type of persons that they are and make a new friend tomorrow, you know. Don't judge a book by its cover. Try to reach out. You know, that's where change begins, within yourself, to be able to reach out to somebody else.
And that's definitely the truth. That's some real talk right there. And your final notes on that situation, Delta, how you feel about that?
Well, I think you need to educate your kids. You need to reinforce kids that not everybody looks the same. Not everybody's got pale skin or black skin. Not everybody talks the same, but they're all good people inside. You just have to know them.
That's definitely some real talk. People, we need, you know, when we talk about change and we talk about, you know, making changes in our life and we complain about the way people act or the way they mistreat you, first we got to go to the core of it. What causes this? What starts these problems? We have to look at ourselves and educate our children. And if the school systems not educate them, then you take your responsibility to educate your kids. You know, and educate yourself and open yourself. Don't be so closed-minded and narrow-minded. Open your mind to new horizons. It might change your life. It might expand your world a little bit more. Stop being so afraid to learn new things and do different things. You know, stereotypes can be very detrimental to children. If you look at yourself now based off of stereotypes or certain things people said to you, you don't think that that's affecting you now in your life? Do you think the reason why you process your hair or the reason why you get a weave or this, that, and third is for us to try to fit in or try to, you know, be that certain person? Have we really accepted ourselves? Or the reason why you're, you know, the stereotype that, you know, only light-skinned people get more attention is the fact that, you know, you're bleaching yourself to make yourself a little bit lighter, to basically get yourself the way you need to be because you don't accept your skin color. is the reason why you're adjusting yourself and you know, having to speak a certain way or have to be around a certain people, is that because you're doing it because you want to do it, or you're doing it because that's what the stereotype people told you to do? Really think about what you do in your life. Really think about the reason why I'm dating a light-skinned woman is because I've always taught that, you know, light-skinned women are better, and, you know, because I'm dark-skinned and I don't want to feel indifferent. That's why. Because you are you ashamed of something? You know? Talk about it. Live your life. Be you. You know? Be you and open yourself up to reality. You know, we got a caller from a block number. Caller from block number, how you doing today? You on Street Queens? What's up, block caller? Hello? Okay, I guess you know. Why people get scared when they call? What's going on? You know, this is the second half of the show. We're going to go to a quick commercial. This show is sponsored by StrictlyBought1.com, one of the hottest clothing lines online, where urban meets suburbia. Check out the clothing line. Also, check out Diverse Media Group, LLC. This segment of our show is called The New New. What's new? What happened to you? What went wrong? Call in at 347-826-7722 and tell us your new today. Stay on the line with us. We'll be back. We're going to go to a quick commercial, and we'll be back, and we're going to be talking to you. And we love you. You, and you. Make change in your life today. Street Queens, the movement. Positive people doing positive things. And we'll be back after commercial.
Having a party? Need a DJ?
Need a DJ?
How about the best damn DJ in the business? DJ Hustle. Visit DJ Hustle at HustleEvents.com to book your next surprise birthday party, corporate event, or bachelor party. With over 40,000 songs, DJ Hustle is ready to play any request. Check out DJ Hustle at HustleEvents.com.
That's HustleEvents.com.
You can never hustle hard enough.
Attention, music connoisseurs. Are you frustrated and aggravated from listening to conventional radio? Sick and tired hearing the same lame 20 songs over and over again? You need to be listening to blogtalkradio.com/LushRadioOnline. Lush Radio Online. Hosted by Lushy Lush. Lushy Lush has her ear to the street and plays all the new and independent artists out there. To listen to Lushy Lush, log on to blogtalkradio.com/LushRadioOnline. And don't forget to call into the station, 347-826-7722. Independent artists and record labels can submit music to Lush Radio Online MP3s at gmail.com. Lush Radio Online, you just officially got stamped.
It's your girl, Lushy Lush. Did you ever think about picking up a magazine to see nothing but the hottest ladies that's doing hot things in the industry, from models to business owners? We trying to find out the beauty outside and the beauty within. So if you thought about that, pick up E2K magazine at www.myspace.com/E2K magazine or www.everything2.com. Or email them at E2KMagazine@gmail.com. Holla at your girl, man. Pick up E2K Magazine and support them in their movement, man. Like Nike say, just do it, do it, do it.
Yeah, what's happening? This Big Wishbone, Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Yeah, this your boy Kool Rock from the Fat Boys. And when I'm in the DMV, I'm always rocking with my girl Lush on Lush Radio Online.
That's what's up. We're live with Street Queens, the movement. And we're definitely, so we were talking about stereotypes, but this is our segment sponsored by Diverse Media Group, LLC, and Strictly Bought One Clothing Line, and MissSusie.com. Check us out, man, at E2K Magazine Online and Streets Are Mine. So we're talking about the new. This is when the queens, you know, definitely, you know, give us what's new with us, what's popping, what's going on. You know, new events, you know, things that might have been detrimental, things that might be happy, sad, things that's going on in the world. So this is the new segment. Tell us your new, CG.
I have a new magazine cover coming out for the October issue of Influence Magazine. I'm working on a new project that I'm going to probably keep on the low now, but then we also have a barbecue cookout going on that we're helping throw with radio promotion and everything. in memory of my friend slash brother. September 5th, we've pushed it to in South Jersey. So I'll give the information to Lush, anybody who attend. But in reference to that, I just want to say rest in peace, Reggie. We love you and miss you. And that's my new.
That's what's up, man. That's definitely, you know what I'm saying, more proud to him. And peace and blessings to his family. We'll be praying for his family and everybody, you know what I'm saying. Definitely, you know, if you guys can come out and definitely support, you know, come out, that's definitely what's up. And, you know, Felicia's not on the line no more. She bumped off. But shout out, we love you, Felicia, you know, for coming through. Lissette, what's your new, boo-boo?
Well, my new boo is I recently was offered one night a week at a local lounge in the Bronx to do poetry night. So I'm not going to shout it out just yet because it's still in the works, but working on bringing poetry back into the Bronx, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to take over, so I'm really excited about that. I wanted to actually give a shout out to Latin, you know, a.k.a. Anthony in the Bronx. Supported streetsonmy.com for years. I hear he's been a supporter since the Savoy way back when. So shout out to Latin. He called earlier. That's about it. You know, I got the lounge in the Bronx, so I'm going to definitely hit y'all up. Oh, and let me tell you about the photo shoot that, you know, I'm part of. It's a, what is it, the Street Queens calendar? I don't know if y'all heard about it.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely the name.
What about you, Lush? What's up with you? What's the new with you?
Yeah, man, you know, the new is, mine isn't a happy new, everybody. If you know, if you're, like, close to me or you know, yesterday, something unfortunate and tragic happened to me yesterday. I was just walking out to go get my hair done, and the apartment apparently blew up. The whole apartment blew up yesterday, and everything, the windows all the way to the bedroom were blown out. The kitchen is destroyed. The bathroom. The apartment now is boarded up. Channel 9 News and Channel 5 News out here in the DMV area had it on the TV, and you know, a piece of glass. Luckily, I was standing in front of my people's daughter. She would have got hit with glass, but she, you know, thank God she didn't. But I got hit with a piece of glass. It was like a graze, but I was bleeding, but it stopped yesterday. And it was just unfortunate. It was like a scene from a movie. And you know, I my nerves were kind of like shot, but you know, I still did my show that I had to do yesterday. But right now, you know, luckily, like, my laptops and everything, you know, was in the car before, but it only took a second. You know, if I had turned around with the amount of glass, you know, could have hit me in the artery or whatever. But, you know, thank God I'm alive and I'm here. You know what I'm saying?
How did that happen?
I don't know. Apparently, I think it might have been a gas leak. I'm not sure, but I mean, it was like a pure, like, explosion. Some stuff I think might have had, like, you know, caught on fire. The fire department was over here and everything. But, you know, it's just, it was, but I think if I wasn't, like, ex-military, I haven't had, like, life or death situations in my life. Because I done had guns pulled up to me and everything. So, I don't think if I've never had a life or death situation, I wouldn't have, you know, been as calm as I was, you know, and continue to do what I had to do. You know, I would have been a nervous wreck. You know, I wouldn't be doing this show today. But, you know, right now we're in a hotel until, you know, further notice, till we find out when we're going to, if we're going to get a place or whatever. But luckily, my friend had, you know, apartment insurance. But, you know, it's still, you know, I don't know what they're going to say about, you know, damages or whatever. But, you know, whatever, you know, anybody can do out there for my followers and for my listeners, that is out there, you know, that definitely rock with me hard body. I'll never say, you know, ask no wife or nothing, but, hey, you guys can send, like, you know, send 25 cents, whatever you can send, you know, whatever you can, that will, like, you know, with the kids stuff or whatever, you know, it'd be cool, you know what I'm saying? You could, you know, if you got, you can send it to PayPal at CEO, LushRadioOnline@gmail.com. If you can, a donation or whatever, but, you know, if you can, but, you know, it's just, it was really like, I mean, I picked it on Twitter, and I sent it to, most of the people I can get in contact with. It's just, you know, a lot of people actually like, yo, how are you, like, you know, still, you know, doing what you do? I said, I got to, because nobody else going to do it for me. So I'm here, I'm alive, I'm able to pick up my daughter, and I'm happy, and that nobody got hurt, and, you know, it's a blessing, and God meant for us to leave out that house at that point. So, you know, I'm glad that we're here and we're able to do this show. And, it's just still sinking in, like, wow, you know, the apartment blew up. You know, everything's boarded up right now. So, but, hey, wow. You know. So, you know, that's,
look,
you know.
You're a trooper, man. I give it to you.
Hey, you got to keep doing stuff because, you know what, God forbid if I did die, you know, everybody else is going to continue to do what they're doing. Life's going to keep on continuing doing what they're doing. But for my people out there that are out there, cherish your life. And don't take things for granted. You can always replace materialistic things, but you can't replace your life, you know? So, you know what I'm saying? So really, you know, appreciate your life, appreciate your loved ones, and you know what I'm saying? Because it's not a game out here. Anything can happen. And for those people that have apartments and stuff out there, for the people that have apartments, make sure you check everything in your house. Make sure that you have renter's insurance. Because you don't know anything that can happen. You know, you got to make sure that you cover yourself. And, you know, a lot of people, we spend money on frivolous stuff. When they say save money for a rainy day, they mean save money for a rainy day because anything can happen to you. You know, it's not a game. So, you know, I just got to, you know, let people know that, you know what I'm saying, cherish your life. Because, you know what I'm saying, you only got one life to live out here. And then... the other new, we're going to stop from all the sadness and stuff right now, but, you know, the other new is, and you know what's crazy, you know, I'm looking at, you know, I can laugh about it because I'm alive, but it's just like, it's messed up, you know, and it's, you know, but it's like, you know, you have to live, you have to, you know, continue to, it's going to be some rough days because, you know, right now we're like in limbo. You know, but, you know, the thing I was saying is that, you know, it's just funny because you just don't think something like that's going to happen. You know, it's like something you see on a TV or a movie or whatever, you know. But, you know, it happens, and I'm alive, and I thank God, and that's why, and I tell y'all, go to church. Even if you don't go to church, God is in your heart. Pray to God. Pray because God was on my side. And if you don't say that the Lord don't have you in his eye, he got you in your corner. You know what I'm saying? He got you in your corner, man. So, the other thing I want to say was check out Coast to Coast Mixtapes. Coast to Coast Mixtapes is having a convention that's going down in New York at Club Touch in NYC, August the 22nd. Check it out. The who's, the movers and the shakers are going to be there. It's going down. If you always putting your mixtapes on thatpiff.com, the man who owns thatpiff.com will be in the building. Everybody will be in the building. If you want to go up there and get your music, get that exposure you want, make sure you come in there with your A game, your business cards, your music, your promotional team. Let's get it in. It's going down August the 22nd at Club Touch in NYC. Also, you got your man Rodamez that's doing an event, you know what I'm saying, in NYC, you know what I'm saying, at the Pyramid Club September the 2nd, you know what I'm saying, in New York, New York, at Club Pyramid. Their phone number is 212-228-488, and the address is 101 Avenue A, New York, New York, 1009, you know what I'm saying, www.thepyramidclub.com. For more ticket details, call 309-756-6120, Delilah James. Rodamez will be performing live. Yeah, and also we have your man who will be joining the Most Wanted Tour with Drake and everybody. Your man 211 will be there. He signed the CTE, so check him out on Monday. You know, it's going down, and definitely check out the mixtape. It's out that we got Lush Radio Online, you know, in collaboration with DJ Hustle, HustleEvents.com. It's for the love of hip-hop. We got some features from Archie Eversole, Glasses Malone. It's going down. We got some bangers on it. Download it. It's free. Support the kid. Promote it. Also, check out www.strictlybump1.com. And anybody that needs a Wikipedia done, you know, it puts you on the top of that list when it goes to Google. If you need a Wikipedia done, holler at me. CEO Lush Radio Online at gmail.com. Diverse Media Group is definitely doing Wikipedias. You know what I'm saying? It's that it-ish when it comes to, you know, being online. So it's definitely going down. Also, Street Queens the Movement, y'all love us. Y'all listen to us every Thursday. We love every last one of you. Thank you, Delta, everybody that called in. And y'all always hear us online, but you never really get to see us. So we got something for y'all. We got a treat. We're gonna be doing our own calendar, Street Queens the Movement. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? The Street Queens the Movement calendar edition. We will be 2010 calendar edition. It will be coming soon for y'all. Y'all going to see the ladies. Y'all heard us, but y'all going to see us in full force. Your boss is boss. The ladies are going to be coming hard and strong, and we're going to have a calendar signing date, you know what I'm saying? So watch out for that. The calendar will be coming soon. Also provided by E2K Magazine, we will be having a Street Queens the Movement book, poetry book, an empowerment book for people of quotes and poems of lifting poems and stuff and thoughts from different women and the different women that are their bosses, female bosses out there. It will be coming out soon. It'll be a book, you know, sponsored by Street Queens the Movement, a book of poetry. So it's going down. So watch out for that also. It's not a game out here, you know. Definitely watch for. Log on to streetsaremine.com. You know what I'm saying? Check out our lovely, beautiful, wonderful CG Michelle. She's all over the place when it comes to modeling. She is the bomb. She's the chocolate goodness that you ever seen in your life. Check her out. CG Michelle is the bomb. The bomb, diggity bomb, 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 diggity bomb. Check her out. You know what I'm saying? She's definitely gracing magazines like crazy. You know what I'm saying? Log on to lustradioonline.com. You know what I'm saying? We blogging it, we moving it, we shaking it, we getting it in. You know what I'm saying? Officially branded, stamped all over the place. You already know what it is. Google me. Google all of us. It's crazy out here, man. So I want the ladies to give out their Twitter because they really don't be getting to give out their Twitter when we be on the show. So, because, you know, all of us need to get up to, like, 2,000. So can you help us get all of us get to, like, 2,000 on Twitter? Holla at us. You know what I'm saying? We're hot, we're sexy, we're bossy. Holla at us. You already know what it is. Real talk, baby. Real talk. Listen, tell them what your Twitter is, boo.
Oh, damn. I ain't got no Twitter, man.
Oh, no. Man.
Wait. I got an account, right? But what had happened was I haven't been on it in mad long. So, you know what I'm saying? I need somebody to teach me something about this Twitter thing.
Yo, after this show, we doing Twitter 101. It's a wrap. You cannot be slipping on your Twitter game and you're queen, man. We going to fix it right, man. Real talk. You know what? We going to get you right, girl. And next week when we come back, she will have her Twitter game together. It ain't no game. But Lissette, where they can contact you and check you out, Lissette.
Check me out at streetsaremine.com, or you can write to me also at streetqueenliz@aol.com. Send me your advice, your questions, send me your comments, you know what I'm saying, and
I will reach out. So holla back, streetsonline.com.
That's what's up. That's what's up. CG Michelle, I know my girl got that Twitter. I know she got that Twitter. What up, CG? What's that Twitter, Twitter?
I got the Twitter, but I don't know how to use it, so I never let it
go. We really need 101.
You can follow me, though. It's twitter.com/CGMichelle. That's CIJIMICHELLE. And, I mean, I guess I could try to log back on and start getting back into it, but I don't know.
At least you know her address, though.
Oh, man. You know what? We're definitely doing a mandatory Twitter 101 mandatory after this call. So we are doing a Twitter 101. I got to teach them about twit pics, all that. Friend feed, we is getting it in. It's a wrap. I love my queens, though, man. I love my queens, though. But they the bosses, and they get it in, man. Make sure you follow them and support them in their movement. You know what I'm saying? We're all at one, but everybody's, you know, their own person, and they got their different movements. So I want y'all to support each one of these ladies' different movements that they got going on. They're positive. They're wonderful, bright, beautiful women. You know what I'm saying? And very inspiring, you know, with their stories. You know, so we definitely don't do this for our health. We do it, you know what I'm saying, for you guys. And, you know, here is a place where you can dump all of your problems, emotions, feelings here, and no one is looking at you or judging you in any way. You come as you are, and just like church, you understand? We're like the female Jesuses, female Jesus.
Oh, and actually, we got to let them know also that, you know, we're opening up the emails to people who need advice, you know what I'm saying? So if you guys have any issues, any problems, anything you want to talk about, you know, just send me your questions and we'll respond, you know. We'll give you a little piece of our minds and a little piece of advice, you know. So that's streetqueenliz@AOL.com. If you have any issues, you know what I'm saying, we'll try our best to help you out, you know. So write out.
Definitely, man. Definitely hit us, streetqueensmovement@gmail.com. Please log on and check out our site, www.streetqueensthemovement.ning.com. Log on, blog. If you got community events or anything, put it in our groups. Join our groups. Put your quotes, put your poetry, put it up. If we see poetry that's good, we'll read it on the show. You know what I'm saying? Come through, send us emails. You might even have suggestions about a show topic for us to talk about. Send it in. Because, you know, we're here, we're interactive, we love our audience, and we love you. Same time, same place at 8 o'clock each and every Thursday, www.blogtalkradio.com/specialradioonline. The call-in number is 347-826-7722. We love you. Because you know what? Without you guys, there is no us. This is what we do it for. We try to do positive things, positive women doing positive things, and we're trying to help the community at the same time, you know. We got some more events going on, you know what I'm saying? Definitely, you know, we're helping the kids and doing events and definitely doing a lot of mentoring. You know, we want to thank you guys for definitely taking the time out your day to come and listen to our show, you know? We definitely want to thank you and implore you to call in and listen in whenever you get a chance. Or even if you don't get to listen today, you want to hear the archives, listen to the archives of our show. All you got to do is type in Street Queens of Movement, listen to the archives of our show. You know, leave us comments. Let us know your opinion and what you think about our show, because we need your help to improve what we're doing. We love you guys, and we thank you, you know. I love y'all ladies. Y'all my sisters from another mother, you know what I'm saying? And I love y'all to death. So you know how we do, man. It's your girl, Lushy Lush, Street Queens the Movement, all of our queens. We got our girl, CG Michelle. Our girl, Lissette. Shout out to our girl, Emma E2K Magazine. Shout out to Felicia Sabri. Love all y'all. You know what I'm saying? And this is what we do. Street Queens the Movement, and we out. Stay strong. No matter what you think or say that you want to do in life, do it. Don't wait for nobody. Don't let anybody tell you that you can't do nothing in life, because you can. You know what I'm saying? If you believe it, you can do it. And remember, cherish your life. Because you only get one, okay? So it's your girl, Leslie Lush, and you know it's Street Queens, the Movement, the panel, and we're signing off and telling you guys that we love you, and we want you to stay blessed, and please take sure that you check us out each and every Thursday, you know what I'm saying?
Because you know what? All we want to do in life is just be successful, you know what I'm saying, and you know, try to do what we do. And I want to play this song because I love Smokey Northwest, and this song is called I Need You Now, because I don't know. For some reason, I feel somebody needs this song right now, and there's people out there that might be going through certain situations in their life right now and struggling, even through, you know, going back to stereotypes, might be hurting them or trying to find acceptance or whatever. All you got to do is call on that higher power, and he'll see you through. When there's no friend and nobody around, you can always have a friend in him. And this is by Smokey Norfolk, and it's called Lord, I Need You Now. I Need You Now. So listen to it. Think about it. Stay blessed, and we love you. Street Queens, the movement, and we out.
Not a second or another minute, not an hour or another day, but at this moment with my arms outstretched, I need you to make a way, as you have done so many times before. Through a window or an open door, I stretch my hands. Come rescue me, I need you right away. I need you now, I need you now, I need you now, I need you now. Another minute, not an hour of another day, but Lord, I need you right away. If I never needed you before, to show up and restore all of the faith that I left while I was yet searching the world for more, the truest friend I have indeed. You're my best friend, I know in me. I stretch my hands to thee. Come rescue me, I need you right away. Doing things on my own, the test and trial that come to make me strong, the feelings of guilt, hurt, shame, and defeat, the ways of trials that